You know, I call it, you know, what we do is I do motivational speaking, life coaching as well. And life coaching on the secular world, they call it taking somewhere from where he is at the moment to where he wants to be. Okay, that's the very basics of life coach. Taking you from where you are to where you want to be, but in a more efficient, practical, strategic, you know, way. So, I come alongside you to help you. Because they believe, this is amazing, they believe the answers lies within you. That it's up to you. But now, what we do is, I'll have some subject, I'll say, I'll introduce you to yourself. Your talents, your gift, your abilities, the things that God has given you that you don't even know you have. So I will kind of ignite them inside you and say, look, you can do this. So I make them believe that they are able to achieve their goals. So what we do, we help to set their goals, the target, short term, long term, the most urgent. I help them to discern what's the most urgent in your life, what's the most important in your life, what's the priorities, short term and long term goals. So we set that aside, and it really, really helps them. Then I found out, we Christians, we have the answers. So instead of just life coach, I put eternal life coach. Because I thought, yeah, anything you do has eternal consequences. So we bring that angle to them. I tell you, whether it's businessmen, they begin to understand it. So we talk to some of their staffs, you know, some of the job center, we're negotiating some things with job centers, because they found out, brother, that out of 100 people they send back to work, this is their statistics, 75 will come back to sign on. Because they have low self-esteem, lack of confidence, they have fear, anxiety, and all these things, depressed. Then, as I begin to continue to dwell on this, I used to work at the Hilton, assistant manager in front office. Now, what they said, we had an interview forms, and on those interview forms, what happened is, there's a part that says appearance. Now, I will refuse the position to you, even though you qualify, because you didn't look the way you should be. They call it corporate look. So do you see? But we wouldn't tell you unless you ride into the Hilton. We wouldn't tell you. Because it's not really. And so many of the agencies like Short Trust, you know, Short Start and all these agencies that you guys probably came across, they wouldn't be able to tell the people that, you know, you need to just change the way you look. They wouldn't be able to. So they like external people to come and have seminars on it. And guess what? We can come in now. And then I have a set of principles, you know, like one, there's one topic that we dealt with called anxiety, depression, that you guys know. So I tell them, do you know what causes depression? Oh yeah, rushing around, you know, oh this and that. You know, they have some part of answers. We have the answer. Proverbs 12 verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Do you see, the Bible has all these answers, but guess what? They're looking for them. We have them. There has to be a bridge. There has to be something we can do. Amen? I tell you, it's not really about praying, but it's about doing it. While you're praying. Do you understand? The Lord is with us. He has filled us with His Spirit. So He's not going to do another work again. Now we need to exercise our gifts. Amen. We do have them. We all have something that we can do to impact somebody's life. We all do have. But we just need to focus and see what do we have. Now, I give you an example. You know, she was talking about the outward. And I thought, if the queen was to come to your house, my brother, I'm sure you're going to sprinkle in that house. You're going to dust the cushions. You're going to make sure the hoover is... You're going to make sure... That's right. It's normal. I will do it. I do it for my friends coming, let alone. You know what I'm saying? I do it. How much more, Almighty God? How much more Jesus coming into your house? Now, there's a physical house in where you live. There's this one that we carry. This is a physical temple. And our body is the temple of the... Come on! The temple of the Holy Spirit! how much more should we look after this that we have temporarily? Because it doesn't belong to us. We need to look after it. It doesn't belong to us at all. Amen? So it's just about highlighting those issues. So like she was saying, in a normal setting, it would be, you have like tables where people would be sat around tables. So she goes through in details of your skin, analyzes your skin, make sure you have the right makeup, the right products, the right things that you need for your daily whatever you have to do. And now those who go for jobs, for instance, there's Christians who struggle, brother, to find jobs. Yeah, a lot of I meet them a lot. They can't find a job because they don't know the way they carry themselves, the way they look, the way they go and apply for such and such job. The appearance, they don't care about your spirit. They want to see if they say you look decent. Decency. So we go into churches and wherever the Lord opened the door, and then we have sessions. There's a corporate look, there's a different thing. What they need. So once we equip, we know now what they need, and then the need can be fulfilled. Amen? So it's as simple as that. That's on that side. So we praise God. We thank Him for everything that He's given us so far. My life, you know, I have to pinch myself all the time. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be speaking to you. It's just God. It's by the grace of God that I stand. I came in the country in 92. This country, I'm grateful for the country. Couldn't speak a word of English. I had to learn from zero in London. I lived about 10, 11 years in London. That's why I became a man in this country. So that's why I say I'm grateful. I got my first job, finished university, got my first job, got my first bedroom, bought my first TV. You know? Call my mom, I got TV. You haven't got TV? I got TV. Yes, I tell you. And then I was earning £80 a week. And that back in those days, I was traveling, I don't know, from Ealing Broadway, if you guys know London. So it was a struggle. But I was happy at that time because it was sufficient. See? I was working from 8 till 8 all day. So I don't know how many, 12 hours, something like that. I was earning £80 a week, 6 days a week. I was earning £80. You can imagine it. But it wasn't matter because I had a cheap bedroom and I was fine that I'm getting paid. I'm getting rewarded. Amen. So I'm grateful for the country. I had to learn a lot of things. Had to adapt. You know, just too many things that were happening. I had to adapt to the culture and everything. Now I'm here talking to you guys. We are able to do more than we think we can. Within you, there's a talent, there's ability, but you need to be tested. You need to be stretched a little bit so that in the pain of the stretch, you will grow. You will find out who you truly are. And hey, I tell you the truth. You will be amazed when God begins to... This is in that process of pain that God begins to stretch you. Amen? That's when you know that you're able to do something else and something else and something else. I don't know if you have this... I'm just going to give you a few words. Yeah. Just pray around. Praise the Lord. Are we getting anything so far? So it's just only 3 hours to go, so I hope you're probably going to have to stand up and stretch a little bit.
You guys can hear me. If you don't, I will shout. Thank you. You know, there's things in us. I really want us to just focus a little bit. Why do Christians struggle? I'm going to speak to you really. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to drop some things, take some notes, whatever will come out. Why do we struggle? Now, we're not struggling because we're preaching the gospel and we're being battered. I'm just going to challenge our thoughts here now. We struggle to just live normal in our local communities. Why? We shouldn't really. We have the answers. We have talents that have been given to us. God made sure we live in a community. I was so blessed when you guys went to pick up a lady. I don't know. You know. I believe We all have neighbors. God made sure we live among the people in the community where somehow, you know, in the church we try and practice what you call the three B's, where you belong first. There are people who want to belong in a group. There are a lot of them around places. You just have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Go knock at the door. You know, our friend Bill recently says, if you want to have something you never had before, you're going to have to do something you never done before. God made sure we live with neighbors, that we have people around us, that we can have an impact, create an impact, innovate, talk to somebody. We have a lot of revelations. Trust me. We have this book. I've been reading books in the secular. I tell you, they all paraphrase this book. In a life coach training that I've been to, the last word on that training manual, this unbeliever, as we think, was the words of Romans 12 verse 1. They said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And they put down St. Paul. That's in a secular life coach book. They read. This is the greatest book that has revelations in it. We are able. We should be containers, carrying revelations around. How is it we're not impacting the people around us? So that's just a thought. We have received revelations. But those revelations, I see the title there. I haven't got many notes. You just got to follow, write some things on the space if you can. The revelation we receive here calls you for an intimacy with the revealer, God. Every time He deposits something in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, whatever that is, He's calling you to Himself. So that you can have intimacy. So that that revelation can be transformed. Can transform you. So that you become that revelation. So you begin to have an impact in the communities around you. Does that make sense? Like brother said earlier, all we need is to spend time with Him. As we spend time with Him, He deposits a few things. How do I spend time? You know, we talk about these things. I'm going to try and break down as much as possible. What does it mean to spend time with God? And how do we do it? It's simple, really. We get our minds in gear. When I used to go clubbing, God was good to me. It was a big training. It wasn't bad. I wasn't miserable. I used to love clubbing. I used to go, and I didn't have a problem. But there was a preparation time. I polished my shoes, ironed my shirts, put some music. Do those things that got my mind in gear. So by the time I went to the club, I was ready. Amen? Christians come to the church, they're cold. It's like we're going to a funeral. I'm here today. What time is it finishing? No. Play a song, do some worship, do something before you get here. By the time you get here, you don't even need the brother to sing anything. You are all fired up. Because we come in to receive a revelation so that we can go out and transform people's lives. People are struggling everywhere, brothers. I'm telling you. I've seen them. I meet them. We have an organization called ACA, African Community Association. Well, I help some asylum seekers. You know, see them today. Before you know it, you call them again. The number is gone. Where? He's gone back to Africa. He's been deported. It's heartbreaking stories. People are struggling. They need life. We have life. Amen? Yeah. Guys, we need to begin to do something different. Yeah. Revelation is a divine truth. It's a divine, deposited word of God in your spirit. All the words of God, He says, His word, when it goes out, it doesn't return void. It will accomplish everything He says it will do. So God's words are action words. God's words are dynamic. They're living. You know, all this, the things we sing, amazing songs. Thank you, praise the Lord. These songs are amazing. I mean, I couldn't sing them all, so I just stand there looking. So that I can just get the words properly. Amazing songs. These are not just words. These are living words. pretending to impact your life so that your life can make a difference in people. You know, I go to these places and you know, we speak about depression. And then, you know, when I speak to these people, and then I tell them depression is caused by anxiety, fear, worry, you know, all these things. You know, they get it and they understand. Because they're receiving revelation at that very moment. Now, when you receive the revelation, there's always, like I said in the notes, the revelation is always married to a situation that you'll meet in your life. This is a training ground, brother. These people are here, including yourself and me, to be trained. You come here to be trained, to be equipped to go. Out there, you have a lousy neighbor. He's got a big dog and he barks all the time. You got people who step on your toes. Out there, you apply the revelation you received here. That's why I say revelation is married to situation. Because every situation you have in your life demands a revelation that will bring light to that situation, to that problem, to that issue. Now, when you receive life in that place, there's birth. Like when the Holy Spirit met your spirit, you became born again. Amen. You understand? All of a sudden, like they say, how do they say, the grass is green, and you know, you begin to see that everything different. That's what happened to me when I received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had an encounter with Him. Can't describe it now because it's not nice. It was difficult. I begin to apply that revelation in my life gradually. I used to go out every night, so I've had to slow down a few nights a week. Now everything began to slow. It was a battle. It was a battle. But in His grace and mercy, I can see it now. I didn't know it then. I find myself a few months later, you know, the swearing and cursing disappeared because I began to wrestle with it. I wasn't a nice person. I'm still not nice. It's just His grace of God. The grace of God. We're not wonderful people. We're weak people. Amen. But in our weakness, He is strong. So all these things begin to vanish. I mean, she uses a hammer sometimes to just make sure. Gone! You said again. Gone! You said again. I think by the time we got married, it changed. Changed considerably, yeah? Yeah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. We were friends first. You want to hear the testimony of our marriage? Nah. We became friends first, and then I began to look at her a little bit more, and you know, I'm meeting her like once a month, and I wanted to meet her like twice a month now, and then once a week, and then I wanted to make it even closer, many times a week, and then I said, when are we going to see your parents? So I couldn't resist anymore. That's what happened. You can't resist anymore. And we went to see the parents, and the father said no. The mother said yes. She said yes. I said yes. Majority win. Amen. So that's what happened. Like it was true, but it's a bit long. And it was challenging. Because they said to me that, you know, I have to be born again. You know. What are you talking about? You know, it was challenging, but it helped because it caused me to seek God. At that time, I didn't know, but I just realized that I had challenges. I was working for the Marriott Hotel, so all of a sudden, I had challenges with Muslim telling me, "Oh, our Allah is this, and we serve the same Allah." I'm like, so I had to go back. You remember, I used to call your mother. I called everybody. Like, what do you think? They said this. I said this. So I had to dig deep, search. Now. What happens as I begin to receive more revelations, the things that I used to do begin to disappear. And I didn't know it. It was an assuming. I didn't remember swearing anymore, cursing. I didn't remember even wanting to go out anymore. I just wanted to spend time reading. I didn't know. And when we went to a church, and I see people doing some funny things, It was like everything was naked in front of me. I can see. I'm like, no, honey, they don't doing anything. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Because what has happened is, once you have that encounter with God, it brings a change. And when it brings a change, you move from where you are to where you're going, where God is taking you. But then you can see and look back and say, yes, now I know. Now I can see. Do you understand? But then it brings the grace of God as well that will help you now to minister to the other people that you left somewhere, so that you're not judgmental. Amen? If you want more revelation, you need to embrace more grace. If you want more truth, you need to embrace more grace. Now, grace give grace. God give grace to the humble. Amen? This will happen. So as you want more revelation, you need more grace so that He can now minister to you. That's why that's channel God's Word. Amen? If there's still things that you're kicking around, if my wife tells me something, I'm fighting, I'm like, oh, what do you think you're talking about? And it's not going to work. Amen? We have to submit to one another, love one another. There's a seminars that we do on marriage, you know, marriage counseling. We had 4 months. Oh man, that was difficult. Because you imagine this gangster doing his thing outside. Now I had to come clean to this Pastor John. He was tall and big. So he sit down in front of us, tell us, we need to clear the table. We have to make sure I come clean with everything that I've done. It was difficult, but yet it's advisable. Because at that time, by the time the last month, divorce wasn't an option. It was things that we couldn't even think about. So that really helped. Now, it doesn't matter. Can you bear with me now? It doesn't matter now. We made covenant. We came to an agreement, a covenant. And that's it. Regardless, that's it. It's not an option. It's not something we think about anymore. We deal with it. We get on with it. Amen? So, I don't even know if I go through notes, but you guys just continue to hear me out. When God gives you a revelation, the revelation invites you to an encounter, and that encounter with God transforms you. In Corinthians, it says, we've been transformed from glory to glory, from character to character. If you replace glory, the glory of God is His character. It's not just a cloud. It's His character. There's nothing in the cloud if the character is not there. There's nothing in the name of Jesus if the character that backs up the name is there. Amen? The people in the past, even in Hebrews culture, when they gave a name, that name carried away. Amen? So if Brother Andrew sends me to you, you have a relationship with Brother Andrew. You know he has integrity, he has honesty, he has all these attributes. So if he says to me, give me £5. He says to me, give me £5. You will give it to me because you know him. Amen? You know behind the name of Andrew, there is integrity. So because of that, you give. So his name was attached to something solid. Amen? That's why I say, at the name of Jesus, at the character attached to the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Amen? Every knee will bow. And we are supposed to be in His likeness, in His character. Amen? In His glory. That's ultimately. So as we continue to embrace more revelations, it will give us more grace so that we can carry the revelation, because it's not easy. All the prophets were killed because they had too much revelation. Amen? It's not easy. I'm not saying anything is easy, but with God, you yoke together with Him. Remember in Matthew 11, He said, yoke with me, yoke with me. If you yoke with Him, you're pulling together. It's lighter. That's why He said, my burden is light. Amen? My yoke is easy, remember? So He said those things because He wants us to work with him, because we're co-workers with Christ. Because we're ambassadors of Christ. We're co-workers with Him. He works in us and through us. Amen? In Him we move and live and have our beings. Amen? So there's nothing we can do outside God. Because He surrounds us. Everybody belongs to Him. The people you see out, they're just a second away from God's mercy, His kingdom. We're not to judge them, we're to love them. We're not to condemn them, we're to be around them, come alongside them. That's why I'm saying we need to be challenged to go out there and meet those people. Regardless, surprise them with anything. Wonder who you're going to invite this Christmas. Do something different, amen? Just do something different. You'll be surprised. You would be shocked. The one you think he's proud, you know, there's one that's challenging to us as well. And, you know, we think he just like one of those guys. You think he doesn't care. But we know it's insecurity. We know the real inner. He looks good on the outside, but inner is not working. We know that. There's fruits demonstrating that. Amen? So we need to step out. We need to do a little bit more, basically, out of our comfort zone. Amen? So once you step out of your comfort zone, that's where God is. That's the area of faith. God only lives in a faith realm. That's where He lives. That's why He says in Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He lives in a faith realm. If you don't move, if you move out of in the faith, you'll be stretched a little bit. And that's where you will grow to bear fruit. Amen? And that's where His character will be dwelling in you. And that's when you have an impact. That's why He said, when I'll be lifted up in you. Amen? He's gone. If you say, you want to be Christian, be born again and this and that, that's saying, I want to see Christ in you. Does that make sense? They want to see Christ in us, because if they see Christ in us, they will definitely be drawn to us. Because you can't really see God and say no to God. Why? Why? He is essentially love. You can't see love and say no to love. You just can't. And everybody's looking for love. They're looking for love in wrong places. Everybody's looking for love. You can't see love and say no to love. No. In one of the seminars, there's this thing that we use. I asked them, do you know the opposite of love? Everybody says hate. I'm not going to trick you with that, but I like to do that with them. Everybody raises their hand and says, yeah, hate. I said, no. You know, political correctness, you can't say no, say maybe or something like that. I say no. Because I know, I'm confident. It's not arrogant, it's confidence. The opposite of love is selfishness. Because love does what? Love does something to somebody else. Love thinks, you know, Corinthians 13. Love thinks about the other person. How am I going to satisfy them, please them? Love has an object. But a selfish person thinks by themselves. Me, myself, and I. Children. I got three. You can see them. Children is always about them. That's natural. It's normal. We're born selfish. That's how it is. It's Adam's fault. We're born selfish. So there's a little thing. You know, when we challenge them a bit like that, they go, wow, yeah. They can stand it after. It's not just by being too political, nice, and no. They play that game all day. Amen. I wrote a note here. Revelation is the counsel of God given to the servant of God to do the work of God. We will be accountable to every revelation we receive. We will be accountable. How many sermons you heard? That's why I just made it different a bit today. A bit challenging. A bit mixed. You heard many sermons. You've been to many churches. You heard many great men of God and small men of God, but you don't say it. You heard many great men of God. Many sermons. You see them on God TV. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But the more you know, you cannot unknow what you know anymore. Now you need to apply. You need to apply the revelation you receive. That's what we said. Here's the training ground. We need to go out there. That's where the situation is, to apply the revelation you receive. It's nothing I can really teach you. No? It just brings some challenges. And when I speak like this, man, he speaks to me. It's a double-edged sword, remember? Amen? So the revelation is the counsel of God given to the servant of God. We are all servants of God. Put it this way, whether you want it or not. You cannot escape. Your body don't belong to you. Your breath don't be. Nothing belongs to you. That's why my afterbirth, you know, I have a friend who's 96 years old. He said he has no right. Has no right. The body don't belong to you. That's why you get sick without knowing. Something just happens to you and you don't know. And you found out, wow, I have a sickness. You don't know. But if you knew, you protect yourself properly. Amen? That's why we need to look after it. We need to make sure. So nothing belongs to you. You have no right. So we can only but serve God anyway. And guess what? Even the devil serves God. I'm to prove to you, yes, he does. God hasn't got a problem with him. No, we have a problem with him because we give him too much power. The only power he has is the power we give him. Remember he said he's the accuser of the brethren? To who he accuses? To God. Day and night. He doesn't sleep. Amen? But we praise the Lord because he's our advocate. You know, God is a judge. He sits down on a throne as a judge. So he got the prosecutor, the accuser, the devil. He comes and he does it all the time. Hi God, how are you? I'm fine. Where you been? I've just been around, walking about, you know. Have you seen my servant Job? Oh, be careful. You see servant Andrew? Oh, sorry, I'm not going to say that because he might come and work. God said, look, he likes me, he hates you. You know, they talk. Do you understand? They don't have a problem. God said, do it, but don't go over the limit. God knew everything is... Listen. It just came to me. Who said in the Bible that all authority has been given to me? Who said it? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all authority has been given to me. If all has been given to him, there's nothing left for anybody else. Amen. The devil hasn't got any. Praise the Lord. So we are servants of God to do the work of God. The work of God is to glorify him by doing what he tells us to do. By exercising the talents that we have. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You hear that big theological thing? Walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In the flesh, there's anger, there's envy, there's murder, there's everything. Galatians 5, verse 19, you know about it. There's pain. In the Spirit, there's peace, there's joy. So now, what do you do that makes you be peaceful, brother? What do you do? You do what you're called to do. And what you're called to do is generally lying in you already. There's a talent in you. So when you do what you're called to do, you're walking in the will of God. That's what it is. So that's why some of us, we're not really happy. You know, I used to be, I've done many. I used to be a chambermaid. I used to be a waiter. I used to be a porter. But I knew I wasn't called to do those things. Do you understand? I knew I was just passing by. I wasn't called to do those things. Because my talent was... I knew I was better than that. You know that expression, I'm better than this? That's what it means. So to do the work of God. God, he says we're co-workers with him. He wants us to do his work. Jesus said, I have finished your work. I've glorified your nerve. I've done what you called me to do. Now, what did he call us to do? Come on, we all know it. Go preach the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't say go and preach blood. Please don't tell the people out to go and preach blood. Please. He said, let's go. Go and preach the gospel. Everywhere. To all men. What is the gospel? The gospel is the king. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And it's simple as the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you and he wants to give you life and life and more abundant life. So go and tell the people. That's what they want. They do everything. They change the blood to live a little bit longer. They cut their faces to live a little bit longer. They do all sort of things. You know, as how do you call that? Plastic surgery to live a little bit longer. You know, we don't need to tell them, hey, come, there's life more. You don't like the way you were born? Come here. Get born again. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Come here, get born again. We can share the kingdom. In the kingdom, I don't want to go into it. In the kingdom, there's a king. You call him Lord of Lords. Amen? He has to become Lord of your life. He's your Savior first. That's nice. You know, he looks after you. He pampers you. And then he wants to become Lord to ultimately take over. So in the kingdom, look, in Great Britain, I love this country. It's the kingdom. shall I just do 5 minutes on it? I've just noted 5. You keep the notes, you'll read them later. The last one was the divine truth. If you want more grace, embrace more truth. You just know this. We're going to read Jeremiah, Romans, and James, and then we close. I just talk about the kingdom a little bit. Because it just, like I thought, it's just coming to me. I want us to be challenged a bit. This is United Kingdom. In the kingdom, in the normal kingdom, there's no democracy. The kingdom of God, there's no democracy. There's a king who rules in a domain. Kingdom. The domain. Amen? Now, in the kingdom, the subject, there's very few people who are miserable, poor in the kingdom. The king generally look after them, so his own people. That's why you see, when I was coming here, I said to my wife, Great Britain is really a blessed, rich country. You need to step out, come to France. My father is French. He's lost somewhere there. He left me when I was 6 years old. God bless him. I don't have a problem with him. My mother just looked after me. She had enough grace. My mother was Catholic until she was, 25 years Catholic. In 2005, the Lord blessed us to go and bless her. So we're in the water. Now she's preaching the gospel, doing what I cannot do. Amen. She's just amazing. There's a church in Cameroon that we have. We have an orphanage attached to it. You got some leaflets there. We'll talk about it later. The kingdom, there are citizens. Those citizens live like kings, little kings and princes. The king has princes in the kingdom. And what happened in the kingdom? The king makes sure they look after their citizens. And now, if the Lord is our king, and the kingdom of God, in Romans 14, it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. His domain is in you. Now, whatever you step, you set your foot, that's your domain. Do you understand? And that's why you can do things if you believe. If you believe, you can do those things. Wherever Jesus set foot, it was life transforming. 12 people changed the whole world. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. Amen? So we can do it. We just need to believe. Now, in the kingdom, there's normal citizens, normal Christians, and there's those who go the extra mile, the disciples. Amen? Now, those who go the extra mile in the kingdom, what do they receive? OBE? MBE? Come on, guys. You guys are British. OBE, MBE, BABABA, or BBB, all of those things. Why? They receive them because they extended the knowledge of the kingdom, the Great Britain, to the world. They went the extra mile, they did something better than the other one. The other, everybody else pay taxes, you pay your bills, you live your life normal. You don't receive any reward. But once you do something extra, the queen says, come here. Come here. And guess what? The queen didn't even know your name. She didn't know you. But she's got people around who will find you. Amen? The Holy Spirit knows exactly who's serving God. And He goes back. Remember? He intercedes for us. Remember in Romans 8? He says, even if we don't know what to do, He speaks for us. He's speaking a language through us so that He can speak. He knows exactly. He's a prime minister. He knows exactly how to speak to God. And God says, who's that? It's grace. It's sister grace. All right, okay. What's she done? Oh, I tell you, she's been doing that. Right, there we go. Remember the Lord said, I'm coming quickly and my rewards are with me. To give to everyone according to... Exactly. It's a very good parallel. The same way the kingdom, the Great Britain is being run, that's how, when the Lord comes, He said, I'll bring my rewards. Behold, I'm coming, and my reward is with me to give to each according to His work. So we say revelation is attached, is married to situation. Once you receive the revelation, it calls you to do something about it. Okay? So if you go to James 1:22, and he hasn't even opened his Bible yet. So James 1:22, we'll just read them and then 2 minutes and we're gone. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That's a terrible indictment. If you go out today, after all this great preaching, great man of God was met you, you say, wow, that was great, and you do nothing about it, you might have just not have listened to it. If you go and say, oh, there's something that I received today that I need to apply first in my life so that I can have an impact on somebody's life, that will work. Amen? So it says, be doers of the words, because all the words of God are living. They're dynamic. Believe me, every time you come here, please remember this. Every time you receive something new from here, it demands you to do something about it. You better not come anymore. Everything you hear, as soon as you hear it, you're accountable to it. Every time. James says, be doers, not just hearers. Otherwise, you deceive yourself. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. You have those scriptures on your... I can go on until tomorrow. I shouldn't. It's not good. Romans chapter 2 verse 6. He says, you know, God will render to each one according to his deeds. Everything you do is recorded. Everything you do. If I didn't say anything today, remember this one. Everything you do is recorded. Have you noticed the scripture says there are books in heaven? Name written in the Lamb's book of life. And then if you read Revelation, many books were opened. And I'm thinking, God, you have books. I mean, how big can be that book? I mean, this billions. Everything we do is recorded. Amen. The last scripture, Jeremiah 32:32. That's easy to remember. Jeremiah 32:32. What does it say? What are you, Jeremiah? My dear friend, Jeremiah. Is that the one? Oh. No, it's Jeremiah 32:19. Sorry about that. Verse 18 says, you show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children. After them, the great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel, meaning revelation. You are great in counsel and mighty in work. For your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The eyes of the Lord are open all the time. He sees what we do. We cannot hide from him. That's why I said earlier in the book of Acts, it says, in him we live and move and have our beings. There's nothing we can do without God knowing it. He knows everything. So because we know now he knows everything, let's just begin to do, even if you don't feel like it. Brother, I'm telling you, let's begin to do what he calls us to do. Let's set people free. Let's set the captive free. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to, come on, we to go out and set the captive free, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. To the poor, the humble. Amen. We can do it. Let's begin to do it. Preach in deeds, in food. Who you invite this Christmas? Just challenge yourself. Who are you going to send a card? Who are you going to... Just do those little things that can help. The lesser is including the greater. The greater includes the lesser. So do those little step by step little things. They will help. I can't, you know, since we started this thing, we can't tell you how many people we had to do many things for free. I mean, it's like, I think she was saying, we just better not do anything chargeable anymore because everybody just want everything free. It just, but we know it will have an impact because they will remember. Amen. It doesn't cost us anything because we have a people-centered service, really. Because we care about the people. We want to make people whole completely. So some of them will come because they think, oh, I just want to look good. I want to do this and I want to do that. By the time they speak with us, they begin to see and know who we are. Amen. So please, let's just stand. Let's just stand. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.